time with everyone's permission. Happiest Tuesday. Today's shiur is dedicated to Le'ilu Nishmat Malkah Bat Jalinus, Chana Bat Shemuel, Shlomo Ben Eliyahu, Zerubbabel Ben Gabriel, Tzivya Bat Mashiach, Tamar Bat Mashiach, Yosef Ben Nisan, Neora Bat Yitzhak, Zara Bat Moshe, Yehuda Ben David, Binyamin Ben Yitzhak, Rinat Badan, Eliel Dina Bat Ephraim, and for the Refuah Shlema of Rachel Bat Chana, Shemuel Ben Rachel, Esther Bat Chana, Dan Ben Esther, and Shimon Ben Sarah, Yana Refana Lahem. So we are learning about Divrei Chachamim. That's the new topic in Peleoetz. Divrei Chachamim means the words of the rabbis. So, and Peleoetz says, Yadua shechamurim divrei chachamim mi divrei Torah. Boker tov, boker tov. It's known that in certain situations and for certain things, the words of the rabbis have to be taken more seriously than the words of the Torah. Oh. You know that? Why? Because the Torah gave the rabbis who are members of the Sanhedrin, we don't have a Sanhedrin today, but the Torah gave them the authority to interpret the Torah and to make laws based on the way they interpret the Torah. The Sanhedrin has that koach. The Sanhedrin has that power. And there are times that the words of the Chachamim are even stricter than the words of the Torah, meaning that the Sanhedrin, they saw over the years that sometimes there were certain places that people were not taking them seriously. That people were saying that, oh, no. So things that are actually written in the Torah, the way I understand and read the Torah, I keep it. But the rabbis, okay, they're the rabbis. So because of that, there were some places that they were stricter in the punishment on their own words, or sometimes at certain moments they were stricter on something that was midivrei chachamim from divrei Torah, so that people understood. The people would understand. Shekol ha'over al divrei chachamim chayav mita. Somebody who transgresses toward the end of Dalet. It's the second to last one in Dalet. Shekol ha'over al divrei chachamim chayav. Someone who transgresses the words of chachamim deserves death. Right. So, for example, you know, one famous example is for people to understand. There's a shofar on Shabbat, or if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbat, do we blow shofar? Or do we not blow shofar?
You decided.
So, from the Torah, yeah, you're supposed to blow shofar on Shabbat. Or when Sukkot falls out on Shabbat, when the first day of Sukkot falls out on Shabbat, we're supposed to do lulav and etrog on Shabbat?
No.
Yeah, absolutely. From the Torah, I'm saying, from the Torah, you have a mitzvah to do lulav. You still have a mitzvah to do lulav.
Because they said that you have to
you
do
still
it.
Have a mitzvah to do shofar.
So who decided?
But the rabbis come in, chachamim come in, they
because
say, no, don't do shofar. Don't do lulav. How come? Because maybe somebody's going to want to do the mitzvah or going to want to learn how to do the mitzvah, and they're going to go and carry. Maybe somebody is going to carry it in a public domain in a place that doesn't have an eruv. And because somebody might make that mistake, we're going to tell you not to do a mitzvah in the Torah. Listen to this. They're saying not to do a mitzvah from the Torah. Don't do shofar and don't do lulav and etrog on Shabbat. Forgo a mitzvah in the Torah because somebody maybe is going to transgress Shabbat. Because maybe somebody is going to carry on Shabbat. So there were places that emidu chachamim divrehem bimkom Torah. There were places that chachamim said, we need something for the public to understand the seriousness and to understand the importance. And even though it's coming from us, we're going to make it just as important, if not more, than words of the Torah itself. What to do.
Yeah, but the emphasis there is not the Divrei Chachamim, it's the emphasis is Shabbat
right,
over
no,
everything.
Yeah, no, but Chachamim have that power to say, at points, don't do a mitzvah in the Torah. That's the fact. They have the authority to sometimes come and say, don't do a mitzvah in the Torah. Because there's a necessity for people to know. Why? Because people are breaking Shabbat? No, because people might break Shabbat. By accident, not even on purpose, by accident, people might break Shabbat. So, Vehen Be'avon, now he says, unfortunately, he says, I see that even in our generation, Rabbi Me'ameh Ha'aretz, Mekinim, Ve'ovrim Al Divrei Chachamim, Many people are lenient and they say, oh, that one's from the rabbis. Oh,
we don't do it.
You know, second day of Yom Tov. No, we only keep the first day of Yom Tov is from the Torah.
That's it.
The second day of Yom Tov is from the rabbis. So he says, Kigon. So he gives his example. Pele Yoetz gives his example. He's Kigon Chalav Shechalavo Akum. Ve'en Yisrael Ro'ehu. If there is milk that was milked by a non-Jew, and a Jewish person was not watching, and a Jewish person didn't see, she'asur mishum chashash chalav tameh. It's forbidden to drink that milk. This is the concept of chalav isha. Now, of course, nowadays, I shouldn't say of course, but in the United... Yeah, I shouldn't say of course, because it's not such a simple sugya. But this is a din midirabanan, that even if a goy comes and tells you, this milk is from a cow. You don't trust him. If we did not watch him or we did not see where the milk came from, you know, maybe he mixed in camel's milk. Maybe he mixed in milk from a non-kosher animal. And because of that, you don't trust him. It's forbidden midirabanan. Rabbinically, it's forbidden midirabanan to drink milk that is given to you by a goy, that a non-Jew is giving to you.
In fact, we should not trust a goy.
That's called chalav akum. It depends on what. I mean, I'm saying if they're selling you raw vegetables, you know, and you buy them and you check them for bugs, then what's the problem? Or you buy, raw nuts. Now there are certain nuts that have that also have bugs in them.
Milk and dairy.
We're talking about milk. I'm not talking about cheese. Cheese is its own thing. I don't want to talk about cheese right now. I'm talking about milk.
We're just talking about milk. Even in the United States, if somebody comes and says,
Now let's get to the United States. Now there's a din. There's a din in the law itself, and they made it is that a Jew doesn't have to mamash see that the goy was milking it. It says even if the Jew is in a place that, you know, let's say if I'm sitting down, if the Jew is sitting, this is what it says in the Gemara. If the Jew is sitting down, he's not technically able to watch, he's not able to see. But if he gets up
and he can see,
then the goy is not going to mix things up. Why?
Because he's
going to
be attentive.
Because he's attentive. He knows the Jew is watching.
Yeah, yeah.
He's afraid of the Jew. Yeah. Meaning the Jew doesn't have to mamash, see every single step.
Or maybe the Jew can come into the door. But
just the very
anytime.
Fact, the Gemara says, just the very fact that the Jew can watch, just the way that the Jew can see, the goy is not going to mix things up. The goy is afraid of the Jew, and therefore you're allowed to drink from that milk. You're allowed to buy and to drink from that milk. Now, based on that, the Pri Chadash and Rav Moshe Feinstein followed that, and they said that in countries that the government has strict regulations of what they're giving you, and you know, if they come and they say this is cow's milk, it has to be cow's milk. There's no monkey business. There's no mixing in other things. You know, there are some countries without government or regulation. It's true. But in a country
almond?
Like there's a very famous story of the Pri Chadash in his times, a couple hundred years ago. That he went to Amsterdam and he drank from the milk of the goyim. He said, "How are you drinking from the milk of the goyim?" They said he had two reasons. He said their government is watching them, and on top of that, it's not financially worth it for them because the milk of the camel and the milk of the non-kosher animal.
Come on, they have to bring it from the desert. It's too far
it's
away.
Much more expensive for him than to. Number one, it's more expensive for him to milk. The cheapest milk in this place is the cow's milk. The other kinds of milk,
they're a luxury.
Yeah,
pig's milk is a big issue in a lot of countries.
Pig's milk is a lot of better.
But number pig milk.
Yeah, that's why India lost their
reputation.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
But number one, he's saying. But the point is, it's not worth it for him. You know, the goy. It's not that he has nothing to do with his life, and he's just for religious purposes. He's trying to. They're trying to get the Jews. This is 200 years ago.
200 years ago.
But in a place like the United States, where the government is on top of it, and he's gonna face a lawsuit, and he's gonna face fines, and it's not worth it for him. So if they come and they tell you that this milk is cow's milk, and they stamp and they label on it that it's milk from a cow, and there's no other ingredients added,
on top of that,
and they didn't
think it's cheapest.
Yeah, Anatol.
And then it's very, very hard.
Even if you do
yeah.
watching,
yeah, yeah, go look it up. So therefore, in a place like the United States, a person, if they didn't add any other ingredients, again, it's not chocolate milk or, you know, they added other milk, just, you know, talking about just plain milk. In the United States, so many of the rabbis were lenient about it. They follow Rav Moshe Feinstein.
At the end, the best milk is mother's milk.
And there is
the only one. But Gepele Yoetz here, he's not talking about the United States, and people have to realize like what Adam is saying. That it's one thing, and a lot of people don't know, it's one thing when we're living here in the United States. It's another thing if someone goes to India, if somebody goes to another country where there's no right, you cannot buy the milk there unless it has a hechsher on it. Wow. Unless it has a...
No cappuccino in India.
I learned that the hard one. It's very difficult.
So, okay, go on. Yeah, black coffee.
The Chabad brings milk from Israel.
No cappuccino in India.
Black coffee.
Espresso.
So
even Pele espresso says, might be from...
Many people, they don't understand this, right? Pele says, many people don't get this. And there are people who, you know, they are arrogant. And they think, they're saying that really they blended in pig's milk in there, they blended in camel's milk into this. And I said, what are they talking about? They said, it's cow's milk.
Nothing has changed from 200 years ago.
So, ולו חכמו ישכילו זאת שכל דברי חכמים חיים וקיימים ואין להם ביטול עולמי. No, when the rabbis made this law, they didn't write on it. They didn't write in the law, it's going to expire in the year, in the year 1800.
2022.
You know, it's going to expire.
There's nothing new under the sun?
Yeah, there's nothing new under the sun. Yeah, they made a law. And, you know, in certain situations, depending on what it is, if we were to have a new Sanhedrin can cancel something else.
Yeah, sure.
That comes from, they cannot cancel something from the Torah. And in certain situations, there are laws about when a Sanhedrin can cancel a previous law and when they can't. But let's say something that they might revisit one day is Yom Tov Sheni. Maybe one day, we have Mashiach and we have Sanhedrin. They might come and they might say, no, we don't need a Yom Tov.
We cannot change it.
But we cannot change it right now.
Yeah, not
when they made the law, they did not, they didn't put an expiration date on it.
Correct.
And say, you only keep this until this time. So, ולא נתנו תורת כל אחד בידו, כמה דוכתי אמרו לא פלוג רבנם. And very often they said, they didn't make a difference. You know, this is the law. והעובר על דבריהם, and somebody who transgresses their words, אף שלפי האמת, even if they happen to be right, they happen to be in India, and you know, how do you know when they'll go to jail? But they, happens to be he was right. Happens to be that this cow's milk was actually cow's milk, the one that the goy in India sold to you. Some say it's still as if he ate non-kosher.
Yeah, you cannot.
Why? Because the rabbis put a gzera on it.
There's a rule.
The rabbis made a law that you cannot drink this. So even if it happened to be that it really was cow's milk, but still you did a prohibition. You still did a transgression. Because the rabbis said that this is asur. It's forbidden to drink. It's like eating pig.
No cappuccino in India.
Exactly. This is
no
what we learned.
No cappuccino in India.
This is what we learned.
Forget
today.
It about cappuccino.
Ve'en lanu divrei chachamim. Chamil levar hata'am lefi ha'peshat. So a lot of people ask, so why do they put an OU on the milk in America today? If the OU is following this opinion, they're not. There are some who still, you know, who have an extra stringency that they only buy. They call it Chalav Israel. We call Chalav Akum in America. We say it's Chalav Israel. We just say that's Chalav Israel. But they Chalav Sam. That's Chalav Israel. But why do they put an OU? The OU is just saying we're confirming they didn't add any other ingredients. That's what they say. We're just confirming that there's no other non-kosher ingredients that were added to the milk, and that's why they put an OU on the milk. And also because the company's willing to pay them to put an OU.
There's always a monetary compensation.
Why not? So sometimes you have the simple reason that they gave. Sometimes there are other reasons that the rabbis had. So we have to follow what the Chachamim said. Yamin u'smol, not to turn right and not to turn left. Whenever you see the prohibitions of the Chachamim that are listed inside the Gemara, inside the Talmud. You know, and their, and as well as their interpretations of the Torah. Ki ruach Hashem diber bam. It says, so to speak, you have to view it as if the Spirit of Hashem spoke to them, almost as if like they're Nevi'im. Wow. Because Hashem gave them the authority to interpret the Torah.
That's why in the middle we pray for them to come back.
Yeah,
as
exactly.
Soon as possible.
We're praying for the Sanhedrin to come back. Because Hashem gives them in the Torah the authority to interpret the Torah. Veshomea lahem mishkon betach, when who listens to them will dwell eternally. You know, there's a story in the Gemara. Oh, wow. It's of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was in prison, and they had a little bit of water to get by with. You know, Rabbi eat of water. So he tells his students and the people around him. He said, "You know, give it to me. I'm gonna do netilat yadayim." So they tell Rabbi Akiva, but what about drinking? You might die from the fact that you're not drinking. And he says, no. He's like, Chachamim said, my friends, the rabbi said that we have a mitzvah of netilat yadayim. But they said, you might die. Kol ha'over al divrei chachamim chayav mita. Right? It's worth that, you know, it's worse. Maybe I'll live, maybe I die. In the end, he didn't die from this. But I have to fulfill what the Chachamim said. I have to fulfill what the Sanhedrin said, and I have to do netilat yadayim to that extreme. Now, many of the commentaries ask. They say that, you know, was it incorrect? Maybe what he did
because
you're not supposed to give up your life.
Life is more important.
Even for mitzvot in the Torah, yes. You're not supposed to give up your life only for three things: only for avodah zarah, for idol worship, for murder, or for gilui arayot. But you're allowed to break Shabbat. You're allowed to. Other than those three, even prohibitions in the Torah, but you don't give up your life. You're not supposed to give up your life. That they said, and the answer is that the commentaries give, is that sometimes a chacham, in order to teach the people the importance of that mitzvah, even on a mitzvah derabanan, he does it. So Rabbi Akiva said, I'm willing to maybe lose my life because I don't have enough water to drink. But I fulfilled what the rabbi said. I do netilat yadayim. I do netilat yadayim before I eat bread.
These were real heroes.
So shomei alahem mishkonei veshaker adam v'harav imtzachen v'sechadov v'enei Elohim v'adam, and he will find favor in the eyes of Hashem. And uchvar, and says Pele Yoetz, that uchvar yadi asata. I did a little bit of this work. I collected many of their words and their laws that come from the Chachamim. Batamur v'zohar akadosh u'midrashim v'sfarim ki yad Hashem hatova alai bekuntrus orot elim, in a different book that I wrote. Orot Elim. So he said, I had another book that I wrote,
next.
Orot Elim, where I collected many
next,
of the words of the Chachamim.
Next, get ready.
Next, Orot Elim. So Ashrei Adam, praiseworthy is the person, Shomea Lishkor Adatot Kuntresi, who is the person who can learn that book, and Iskar Yishma Chacham Yosef Lekach. A wise person will learn, and he'll add on to his knowledge. V'lo Ya'alor Ki Ya'over Ad Ibrahim Kedai Hu Lachuv Min Ashon. Is because one who transgresses the words of Chachamim, the words of the rabbis, he's deserving of, you know, giving up his life. Now, even if he doesn't have any other sin, even if a person, he's fulfilled every mitzvah of the Torah, but he doesn't follow Chachamim, and he says he's not following Chachamim, chayav mita, he deserves death over the fact that he didn't follow Chachamim.
Rabbi!
Aside from the fact that most of the time when people say it, they don't even know what they're saying. The truth is, people say, I follow the Torah, I don't follow the rabbis, they're saying nonsense. Right? Because then you can't celebrate Hanukkah, you cannot celebrate Purim. You cannot, you don't realize how many things in our lives. It's nonsense to say, I'm following Rabbi, I'm following the Torah, I'm not following Rabbi. Mitzvah lishma devehem uriyah ushit again alav, v'yasliach bechol derachav, amen. You'll be successful.
Zag baruch Rabbi.
That's also true. So you cling yourself to Rabbi and follow his ways?
Yeah. You see,
I follow my rabbi.
We follow Pele Yoetz.
Follow my rabbi.
Everyone have a wonderful day.
We are in the middle of the field, no?
let's move, yeah, it's,